Okay, I'm gonna call this meeting at order, Santa Claus County Employees Retirement Association. Please call the roll.
Maria DeAnda.
Here.
Darren Garrett.
Here.
Ron Martin.
Here.
Jim DiMartini.
Here.
Jeff Grover.
Here.
Michael O'Neill. Gordon Ford.
Here.
Mike Lynch.
Here.
Donna Riley.
Here.
Joan Clendenon. We have a quorum.
Okay, are there any announcements?
We're here.
Yes, I do have one. Sorry. I'd like to introduce three new staff members that we've hired within the last couple weeks. Sitting here to my left is Reed Love. He's the IT, the new IT coordinator. He replaces Joyce Parker.
Nice to meet you guys.
Before coming to Stansera, Reed worked for the University of the Pacific as a web application and report developer within their institutional research department. In that position, Reed's responsibilities included the creation of data structures and web-based applications used to store, extract, and format analytical data, which was mainly used for strategic planning purposes. So give Reed a nice welcome.
Glad to be here, guys.
Two other staff that aren't here right now, are they coming?
I think they're gonna come.
All right. Take 1 second here. We got some good folks, by the way.
Good.
You'll want to move down here to the techie end of the table.
Get him away from those people over there.
Not too far now.
Just messing with you, you know.
Yeah.
I think you have more facial hair than that.
Sorry. Are they right available right now? Have them come on in.
Not your employees.
Okay, this is Mary Williams. She's our new operations technician. Before coming to Stansera, Mary was working for a temp agency in various accounting assignments. Near the end of 2011, Stansera actually hired her in a temporary position to fill short-term needs we had when staff departed. So now Mary is full-time, and we're very pleased to have her. And Mary Williams, give her a nice welcome, please. Is Eileen out there?
No, she's not here.
Okay, I'll just, just close the door, please. Our third new employee is named Eileen Ta. She is our new retirement technician, and she comes to us from the Livermore Valley Joint Unified School District in their Human Resources Office. She was there for 7 years and has extensive experience in retirement, workers' comp, and long-term leave benefit issues. I'm sure you'll get a chance to meet her later on. That's all I have.
Okay, this is the time for public comment. Anybody from the public would like to make a comment? Okay, seeing none, closed session. Is there a motion to go into closed session?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
A motion is made, seconded, we'll go into closed session. All those in favor? Okay, we're back in the open session. You want to report out on the closed session?
Okay, on item 5A, there was no action taken. On item 5B, there's no report. And on item 5C, motion was made by Jeff Grover and seconded by Maria DeAnda to authorize Stansera's executive director and general legal counsel to contact county counsel. Motion carried.
Okay, now we will go to item 6, consent items. If any member of the board wish to pull an item for further discussion.
And I have an announcement also, on these.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent and note it on the agenda.
Second.
Well, I needed to add something here. On item, on the consent item 5D, the deferred retirements, the dates listed were off by one day and will be amended in the May 22nd board meeting minutes. I meant 60. Sorry.
All the dates?
All but two.
I would like to also make mention on the passing of Frank Alvarez. He's a good guy. Definitely be missed in the community and in a wide variety of ways. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the motion is made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion is carried. We will now move to item 6A. Says Paul?
Yes. To do the quarterly report. Excuse my voice, I'm a little under the weather like the markets these days. And we start on page one. And the first bullet point and the next to last bullet point on page one on the market review are the two most important, I think. The first one is the global liquidity supplied by central banks, including the U.S., U.K., Japan, and Europe, and particularly Europe in the first quarter, injected huge amounts of liquidity into the marketplace. And along with the backdrop of, in the United States, positive economic statistics released in the first quarter led to a very large rally in the equity markets that was continued from the end of last year. The economic data after the first quarter began to slow down a bit. GDP was plus 2% in quarter one, kind of along the lines of the new normal of slower economic growth overall. And the market had become concerned with China, whether it was going to have a slowdown that was a hard landing or a soft landing. The market is factoring in a soft landing, and that appears to be the course that China is taking. And obviously the European Union and Greece and Spain and Italy became in the forefront again after the first quarter, particularly in the last few weeks. Page two, the fund during the first quarter of calendar year 2012, third quarter for our fiscal year, returned a very strong 8.6% and ranked in the 16th percentile of funds in the universe that it's compared against. More importantly, it beat its policy index by 100 basis points, 8.6 versus 7.6 for the quarter. And you can see the results on the page of 2 and 3 of what helped the return of the fund versus policy. Points 1, 2, and 4 are passive indices. Point 3, Delaware was 160 basis points above its Russell 1000 Growth Index for the quarter. And Dodge & Cox Equity reversed course and was 200 basis points above its Russell 1000 Value Index for the quarter. The two small cap managers, Legato and Cap Prospects, were slightly above at 20 and 30 basis points of alpha versus their respective Russell 2000 indices of growth for Legato and value for capital. And Pyramus had a very strong quarter of 12.2 versus 11.3% for its benchmark, adding 90 basis points. A good bulk of the alpha of 100 basis points came from the fixed income manager Dodge & Cox, which was 270 basis points above its index, which kind of reversed its poor results in the fall of last year when the markets were dropping and spreads were widening. In the first quarter, spreads narrowed significantly, and Dodge & Cox, being overweight corporates and mortgages and underweight treasuries, benefited from that market action. PIMCO added 20 basis points. Invesco matched its index with a very strong 12.9% return versus the quarter. There was only two managers that hinder results on page 3 and 4, LSV was only 10 basis points below its benchmark. And then research affiliates, as we've been discussing, has been struggling in their long-short strategy. And we'll discuss further today on the agenda a little bit later. The fund ended the quarter on the bottom page five at $1.426 billion. It's getting back to the levels where it was a few years ago before the financial crisis occurred. I guess the first step is to get back to where you were and then to move forward, and we're getting closer. Pages 6 and 7. 6 lists all the individual mandates that make up the total plan. And page 7 begins the performance summary, which is which continues on page 8. And what we see on page 7 on when we look at the performance summary and the good returns and rankings for the quarter, that this plan tends to do pretty well when markets are up strong on the equity side and tends to struggle when equity markets are struggling. And that's because of our large allocation to equities within the total plan, number one. And number two, Dodge and Cox tends to perform well on the equity side in strong up markets and tends to struggle when markets are weak.
Paul, when I look at the pie chart that shows all the different companies, it looks like we're terribly diversified. But when I go back one slide and look at, you know, just the breakdown by domestic equity, domestic fixed,
uh-huh.
and I would even maybe consider the international equity, depending on where it's at, to be really very similar, highly correlated with the domestic equity. It really looks to me like we have a 40-60 split in the portfolio.
You're completely right. We're a very simplistic allocation of roughly 60-65% equities, 30-35% fixed income. And it's been a discussion point actually for a while, even before you joined the board. And it's a good observation that there's obviously many ways to build a portfolio. We have core fixed income, and we have equities, basically. And equities, whether they're global, U.S., emerging markets, tend to be fairly correlated to one another. Although, as we'll show, we're in an extreme period where U.S. equities are outperforming non-U.S. equities due to reasons. And one can stay the course in that way. And in the long run, you should be compensated for the equities, but our overall portfolio does have a lot of equity risk in it.
I was going to say, even on a risk-adjusted basis, you expect it will...
No, I think we would argue that there would be ways to not sacrifice your overall expected return in this portfolio by diversifying and lowering the risk and volatility.
When you get to the part about the style grid,
sure, but I think, and we're eager to address this question when we do the asset liability study, which I guess working with Rick and his staff will be upcoming fairly soon, that we would look at the current mix versus a more diversified mix of assets. And
I'd like to have some changes in place by the fall, mid to late fall.
Now, this mix has not really hurt us the last 3 years in the recovery period, but it does seem not to stand up as well in sharp down equity markets as one would suspect because of our equity allocation, and our fixed income allocation has a heavy corporate bond allocation, which is also correlated to equities.
Mm-hmm.
So... but one has to be careful of going too crazy the other way, too.
Absolutely.
But I think it's something we're eager to address and at least bring you alternatives, whether we stay the course where we are or we take a step into what I would call a more, quote, balanced type of portfolio.
Okay.
that would include additional asset classes that would lessen the overall equity risk in the portfolio, which is quite high. You know, the rule of thumb is you have 60, 65 in equities, 35, 40 in bonds. The overall portfolio has an equity risk of 85% or something like that. But there's no easy solutions. But it's a kind of, one goal would be to look at adding some new asset classes that, as I said, would keep the return at roughly the same levels, lower the standard deviation and risk metrics of the portfolio to make the volatility less quarter to quarter. Right. Page 7, as you can see that, the one quarter was great, but the fiscal year to date, the 9 months, which includes that really rough third quarter in 2011, we're at 3% versus 3.6. Now, the three-year number is great, 19.4 versus 18.4. That sort of coincides with a low point in equities, where it's been a very strong, I think the U.S. markets at least, you know, we're up substantially over that three-year period. You can see the total fund 19.4 versus 18.4. And 5 years, which includes almost the whole period of the financial crisis, you can see the low return of 3.3 versus 3.2, and it kind of evens out during those strong up equity markets and sharply 2008 and third quarter of 2011. Which brings us right back to where our policy index is. Returns, growth has substantially outperformed value during this most recent time period of 6 months and 5 years. And you can see it, the Russell 1000 Growth Index for BlackRock, 1 year up 11.2, the Russell 1000 Value Index up 4.9 for 1 year. That's 6.3% outperformance of growth versus value over 1 year. And over 5 years, it's about a 5% differential. And as we heard from LSV last month when they reported, that's also been occurring in the non-US markets, where, as LSV said, we would expect at some point value to begin outperforming growth. We just don't know when and at what level. And that's been affecting research affiliates too, which we'll discuss and have discussed.
I've never seen one of these firms ranked 100.
Ranked what?
100 in the peer review.
That's,
research associates.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's like the worst. I've
yes.
never seen it. That's the lowest you can get. I mean.
It is. You're right. And you can see that on page 8, that the before we get there, the international has had a good quarter led by Pyramus. Dodge & Cox for the quarter and for the longer periods, 3-5 years rank well. They tend to add about 100 basis points over the longer period. PIMCO's been a good complement to Dodge & Cox. They have more treasuries in their portfolio. And Invesco had a very good quarter and three-year number up 28.3%, although trailing their benchmark, they still rank high in their universe. Research Affiliates is a very poor number, down 26% for the 9 months. They've continued to suffer since the end of the first quarter to now, and as I said, we'll talk about them after the monthly performance, and the developments have changed there since last month's meeting. The fund on page 9, the three-year number, 19.4 versus 18.4, 10-year 6.3 versus 5.8, adding 50 basis points of alpha over 10 years is quite good. Obviously, we'll strive to do better. And then page 10, the total plan, added value in both stock selection, in primarily stock selection, 1.07% for the total plan and selection, the value added columns on the far right, the total plan 1.1%. As far as the markets on page 11 in the U.S., the stronger sectors for the quarter were financials, technology, and for the 1 year, energy and materials have been lagging. The Russell 3000 total U.S. market has a P/E ratio looking forward of 13.5 times. That is reasonable, not too cheap, not too expensive. But when you start comparing it to bonds and what the yields on bonds are, a dividend yield of roughly 2% is now greater than what the 10-year U.S. Treasury bond is yielding. And a P/E of 13.5 times on a forward-looking basis is quite reasonable when your alternative is a 10-year Treasury at 1.75%. Page 19. And that's one thing we would show in a asset allocation today is when you just look at equities and bonds, our expected return for equities versus bonds is at the widest gap it's ever been. So we would definitely favor equities. With that said, is where we probably wouldn't propose a substantial decrease or just a small decrease in equities, we'll be taking some money from the core fixed income and looking to diversify from that.
Can we go back to page 13?
13, sure. Yes, you may. Okay, this is a diagram on how each of the managers in our portfolio, what their style looks like and how it's drifted over time. Now, this is based on just returns-based data, so it's not completely accurate, I would caution.
Okay.
We would put more emphasis on what their actual holdings are. And secondly, these drifts aren't very large at all, actually, on the scale of the map. For example, the bottom right is Legato, or Small Cap Growth Manager. You see the symbol is where they're at today, and the lines are where they've been over the past, I have to find out, it's either 3 or 5 years, how much they drifted. And these are pretty narrow.
But when you see so much concentration in just one sector, with, you know, almost nothing in small, almost nothing in mid, I just wonder why we are so concentrated in large cap.
Yeah, it's, like I said, it's because of its returns base. If you looked at holdings, and I'll do a holding space for us, you'll get a different story.
Okay, thank you.
For example, Cap Prospects is turned, it's more SMID core, it looks like, than small value, where we're lacking those small value vitamins. But if we did a holding space, I think it would show a slightly different story.
Thank you.
Sure. That's easy to do. Okay. Page 19. This is the 1000 Growth Passive Index managed by BlackRock. You see it mimics the index like it's supposed to. P/E ratio of 18.3 and high return on equity and growth. Page 22 is the counterpart, the Russell 1000 Value Index. You see a P/E ratio lower at 15.1 and return of equity and growth much lower than the growth side, as one would suspect. Page 25 is Cap Prospects, a very diversified 340 securities. Return of equity and growth higher than the value index, but a P/E ratio below the index. So they're finding, their managers are finding companies on a P/E ratio at or below the index with higher growth rates, which one would assume are favorable type of factors to be looking for. And page 26, the quarterly performance attribution for Capital Prospects. You see they added 60 basis points, mainly due to allocation this quarter. Over time, you would want to see the bulk of the total value added from stock selection, although that will deviate quarter to quarter. Page 28, Delaware, the Large Cap Growth Active Manager, concentrated at 29 stocks. You will see some mid-cap exposure in this portfolio a little bit if we did a holdings. And very high, their return on equity and earnings growth rate, earnings growth above the index, return on equity slightly below. And page 29, their attribution came from that allocation also, with a huge overweight in information technology, adding 1.28%. Page 31, Dodge and Cox. Their portfolio characteristics are similar to the Russell 1000 value from a PE ratio, return on equity, and earnings growth. And page 32, they had a good quarter, adding value from allocation, 100 basis points, and 80 from stock selection. So it's a good turnaround quarter for them. Page 34 is Legato. Being a growth manager, again, like Cap Prospects, a very diversified portfolio with the manager-manager approach. Return on equity and earnings growth slightly below the growth benchmark. We tend to see them lag in very strong up market months for the Russell 2000 growth, and that shows in their characteristics, having a little more valuation emphasis than the benchmark. And bottom of 35, again, a manager that added the bulk of their, or all their value added came from allocation this quarter. Page 37 is the S&P 500 index, matching what it is. And then page 40 starts the international equity managers, LSV and Pyramus. You can see Pyramus had a good quarter. Our 2 and 3 year numbers are good for both managers. I like the pairing, it's working well. I know there's issues month to month sometimes and quarter to quarter, but overall, you see the rankings for 2, 3, and 5 years, they're quite high for both active managers. And page 41, LSV, look at their PE ratio compared to all the US equity managers we just showed you, 8.6 times. I think that's about as low a PE ratio I've seen for a manager's portfolio in all the years I've been doing this. And that's a reflection of what's going on in Europe, how those stocks have sold off. And as they said, it's a very cheap portfolio, but as we've seen, cheap portfolios in the short run can get cheaper. But it does give us some basis of confidence that, you know, over time, these portfolios should perform adequately. Earnings growth at 5.96 is much lower than the U.S. growth rates, obviously. And you can see the return on equity is still pretty high. Page 44 is the total portfolio for LSV added 119 basis points, 200 of it came from stock selection, so a good quarter there. And Pyramus on page 45, the non-U.S. growth manager, very diversified portfolio, much higher growth rate of 16 times, given their growth bias versus LSV, and still a cheap PE ratio at 11 times. And they added on page 48, the bulk 243 basis points from stock selection, 122 negative from allocation for a total of 118. Fixed income. Dodge and Cox had a good quarter. Their 3, 5, 7, and 10 year numbers are all quite good in the fixed income area. As I said, they add a little over 100 basis points for 7, 10 years. PIMCO. 1 year number 8.5. They are a good complement to Dodge and Cox, given the makeup of their portfolios. And page 50, the yield curve. Yield curve change was the red from the end of last year to the yellow the end of March of 2012. The yellow line is now shifted below the red line today, given what's gone on the last month with rates coming down and kind of treasuries once again being a safe haven during times of volatility and macroeconomic adverse events, primarily in Europe. But there's been a decidedly weakening of economic statistics released in this country since the first quarter also. Page 51, Dodge and Cox, corporates 44 versus 20 for the index, treasuries 8 versus 36. So they are susceptible to spreads on the corporate side particularly. And when spreads narrow, they do very well. And when they widen, they don't do as well. Over time, on page 52, the yield of their portfolio is much greater than the average today, 3.3 versus 2.1. The yield on the whole BC aggregate is at 2.1%. That's an incredible number, and a number that works against us when we have 35-40% of our portfolio in with that type of benchmark and what our overall expected return needs to be. That hasn't worked against us yet, but we should be prepared for the time when rates start to level out or go up to return basically nothing on that portfolio. And we saw a preview of that in the first quarter. If you go back to page 49, the aggregate for the quarter added 30 basis points, up 0.3. I think that's a preview of what is potentially coming in our future. I think it's probably further off a little bit than most people expect, but we should be prepared for that and look at some alternatives to core fix. Doesn't mean we have to act on it, but we should at least be prepared and look at it. And page 53, PIMCO, you see 41.6 in treasuries above the index weight. That's what makes them a good complement. So during times like we're going through now, where yields have come down and treasuries are a safe haven, the PIMCO portfolio will benefit from that, while Dodge and Cox won't keep up with the index in that type of environment. So overall, it was a very good quarter in the first quarter. The active managers are overall doing quite well, especially in strong up markets. So like we said, fixed income was the greatest source of alpha for the quarter. And as we'll talk about as we pause for questions before going to the monthly, as often is the case, when you look at 6-7 weeks later than the quarter end, things have changed. We go through April.
And what about 7B?
Oh, I'm sorry, the manager compliance, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, because of discussion and action.
We have a manager compliance sheet, manager review list. And as I said, the active managers had a good quarter, and overall are doing quite well. Dodge and Cox improved their alpha for 3 and 5 years from the previous quarter. Their 5 year is still at or 10 bips below benchmark, but their 3 year numbers are good. Delaware has had a strong period of outperformance reflected in their numbers. And Cap Prospects for 3 years has added value. Legato has improved the last few months. They are up since inception. And LSV and Pyramus, as we said, for 3 years has very strong numbers. In 5 years, kind of down 60, up 80, but ranked 39th and 27th percentile. Invesco is minus 320 for 3 years with a ranking of 6th percentile. think part of that is the universe isn't very robust for them. So you get that type of ranking. Their return's been very strong, and we've kept them at the level they've been at. They're finally approaching the level we funded them back, though. Research affiliates we'll talk about separately next. They have basically made a decision for us, and I'll get to that shortly, and that's happened before at this fund. And Dodge and Cox Fixed Income and PIMCO continue to perform well. So there's no recommended changes to this manager review list or action needed. Okay, April. Equities took a breather in April. U.S. markets were down slightly. Large caps outperformed small caps. And once again, growth outperformed value. And U.S. continued to outperform non-U.S. equities. The one-year Russell 3000 up 3.4. The one-year ACWI ex-U.S. down 12.5. In 1 year, U.S. equities have outperformed non-U.S. by almost 16%. Bonds rallied in April. You see the aggregate up 1.11%, reversing the first 3 months. And you can see that the five-year Russell 1000 growth up 4.1, Russell 1000 value down 1.7, a differential of almost 6% there over 5 years. That is about as wide as I've seen there on a style differential. Page one, next page, summary investments. As one would suspect, the U.S. equity allocation has been drifting up, and the international down, and fixed income down a little bit. Although we're still within ranges, U.S. was at 43, international 17. Our range is 16 at the bottom at the international. I don't see a need for rebalancing at this point in time, although we're watching it and we're getting closer. Page two, the fund dropped $11 million from the prior month. I think it's much like last year. We were looking good till the last couple of months, and then we kind of flattened out and went down a bit, and it looks like we're repeating ourselves here. As May, we're down about 6% on equities overall month to date, given what's happened in May. We're down $31 million from the prior year. So it's been a, looks like another lost year, unless there's a dramatic change. But a strong recovery since last fall still. It's equity markets were up about 25% from last fall's bottom. And the market had gone 180 days without a 5% correction. That's happened in May, obviously. We've corrected 5%. It was almost inevitable after that huge increase from the fall that we would get some type of correction. And clearly the events in Europe, particularly Greece and the potential exiting of the euro, and Spain being in the news almost on a daily basis about being too big to fail and too big to save. It's clear that the path that Europe has chosen of austerity is not going to work with these peripheral countries, and that either they have to change their course and flood the market with even more liquidity like the U.S. did, or we'll continue to have these daily news of the peripheral countries and what's going to happen there. page three, the allocations. Delaware has drifted up due to being a large cap growth and the differential of growth value, plus their strong alpha. I mean, if we did rebalancing and took money away from the U.S. equities, that would be a source as it's drifted at the top end of the range. LSV and Pyramus are both below their targets, but that has helped us, help the fund them be below targets given the weakness in non-U.S. And page five, the preliminary performance for the month of April. You see Dodge & Cox was flat. They're down 280 basis points fiscal year to date. That's clearly hurt the total fund to a tune of about 30 basis points. Delaware was down 80 for the month also, still up 580 fiscal year to date, which is now 10 months out of the 12. You only have two left this month and next. Cap Prospects and Legato have added a little value. Overall, total domestic equity was down 20 bips versus benchmark, down 87 versus down 66. Year-to-date, up 580 versus up 650. Fixed income, PIMCO did add value during the month. Dodge & Cox trailed slightly. They trailed slightly fiscal year-to-date with PIMCO adding about 1%. Fiscal year to date, you can see the bonds are still strong. And getting back to U.S. equity, Delaware large cap growth fiscal year to date up 15.8, Legato down 24 basis points. You can see the huge difference between large cap and small cap fiscal year to date. Plus, Delaware's outperforming by 6% too. International both down about 2.3%. Fiscal year to date, Pyramus doing quite well. They had that very strong month last month. And LSV, their style is going to struggle in this type of market when they're a deep value manager. It's explainable, down 100 bips. Invesco, you see at 19.7 million. I think that's, it was down 40 bips. It was up 1.9% for the month, and it's the highest it's been in many years, actually. And research affiliates, you can see as we reported last month, the fund is down 12.2 for April, continues to struggle. Overall, it's cost the plan about 50 basis points, so it is fairly significant. And the total fund down 52 bips for the month, trailing its policy index by 37. Fiscal year to date, now up 2.4 versus 3.8. Quickly on the rolling 3 years, Dodge & Cox is hovering right around zero, slightly above for the last couple of years. Delaware, page seven, had the nice run up. It's kind of leveled off at 2%. Capital Prospects adding about 1.25%. And Legato, trend's been better, narrowing the gap to about 50 bips below benchmark. LSV, last couple months have kind of brought it down a bit after strong periods of outperformance for a while. Pyramus, that good month a month ago, it's kicked it up above 0% now for 3 years on a rolling basis. Invesco improved last month on page 12, and Dodge & Cox fixed income on page 13 has been, since the bottom of 2008, the end of 2008, it's had a very strong line upwards. So that includes April, a little commentary on what's going on this month, and if there are any questions, I'll take them now before we go to the top 10 holdings.
Any questions?
Okay, top 10 whole needs by manager. This is from the end of April to May 15th. So it's a mid-month report on their top 10 positions. We start with BlackRock, the passive Russell 1000 growth index. And you can see the index as of 5/15 was down 4.76%. So it's been a weaker month for equities for sure. Our 40% and 37% of fixed income will help us, though. That's been, as it's been the last 10 years, uncorrelated to equities. Positions, Google, Coke, and PepsiCo doing well for the month. Next page, the large cap value, passive BlackRock mandate. And JP Morgan sticks out there, given the news of their unfortunate trading activity. Next page, cap prospects. Their top 10, the first four positions were down. And Gulfport Energy seems to be up or down 10% or more on a monthly basis. It's quite a volatile position. So, and the 2000 value is down 4.3, a similar amount mid-month. Delaware, the next page, struggling a bit with MasterCard and Priceline. Google, again, is in their portfolio as in the index. Dodge and Cox for the month. A few positions on the downside on a relative basis, including Hewlett-Packard and Sanofi, the European pharmaceutical. Legato is kind of, once again, looking to have a very good month on a relative basis. Their top three positions all up strong on a relative basis. And a couple other positions up on it, double digits, Geo Group and LKQ Corp. The S&P Index, the next page, AT&T's been strong overall. And then the international equity positions. We've added a market column to show where they trade, because there was confusion last month with each manager holding a position in a company with different prices and different currencies, and I think it was Royal Dutch. The top position on LSV in the next page. Pyramus, although they trade in different markets, LSV in London, so that's British pounds, and Royal Dutch in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. LSV for the month, you see the ACWI down 8.2% a month, again weaker than the U.S. markets, continuing that trend. And Pyramus down, same benchmark, with a mix of few stocks doing well on a relative basis, Nestle's and Vodafone, and British American Tobacco, some more defensive type names in a weak market environment. The last page, research affiliates. Now, the good news is they're making money on their short positions in this type of market. I'm reaching trying to find good news.
Not enough to compensate for the losses.
The bad news is the long positions are down more, as you can see. And as we've said, they tend to be long the European value type of names, the type of names that are in LSV's portfolio on the long side, and some of the American financials. And they tend to be short the U.S. large cap growth type names like Apple, Cisco. And the spreads between that we've talked about time and time again, including today, value outperforming growth and U.S. outperforming non-U.S. leads to very poor results. I will stop on the top 10 and use that as a segue into the last discussion on research affiliates if there are no questions on top 10 holding. Okay, research affiliates, we talked about and made some, kind of stop loss provisions for them. And we had a discussion and vote last month on their portfolio. Update on the portfolios being passed out. And you can see the latest reading was 12.3 million. They have
10
million in no time.
We'll get there.
They have also sent Rick and myself a letter from John West dated May 17th. Yes, you have a copy, good. Stating that they plan to close the product as of September 1st. So, as I alluded to earlier, a decision has been made for us.
Well, what's that mean? They're
going to close.
Can
you go through the letter a little bit?
We find what's left of the money.
Well, yeah, and if we keep losing 12% a month, why don't we cut the cord out right now?
That's what I'm going to suggest. So.
Just tell them tomorrow we're standing on our money.
Yes, yes. The letters, they're saying that the Commodities Future Trading Commission issued final regulations regarding swaps, futures, derivatives. Their current portfolio and their plans to change the way they short the short positions from individual stocks to countries would effectively use swaps to get those country shorts. And because of that and the cost of the new regulations, they've decided to close the plan.
Essentially, they never had to register with the SEC or the CFTC at all. And based on what happened, what came out of Dodd-Frank, the CFTC has implemented new guidelines a few months ago that would force them to register not only with the SEC, but with the CFTC as well. So they're viewing this as being onerous in terms of registration. They say that they are very lean in their budget and they don't want to go down this path and have to comply with all the registration.
Is this unique to them or all long short funds would have to
be all long short funds.
Anybody that
or all
so they're all closing down or are these
no
depends on the size too.
Now if this was a bigger fund doing
right.
Well, they I think it's a way out.
I do too.
It's a way out for them.
I think they're like saying whew.
So we have to get out of September 1st, and as Mike just brought up.
We're losing. We lost $500,000 since the end of last month.
Better to get out sooner.
Yes. Now, we have a withdrawal request form ready to fill out.
I'll make a motion again to withdraw.
No second. I should have done it last week.
You're the chair.
Okay, I was just waiting for further discussion on how we can stay in the there's the thing I could say, and I've said this before, there's certain types of investments which you'd never invest in a retirement system, and it's things like derivatives and commodities and junk bonds and this type of stuff here where it's these long, short hedge funds. These things are not good investments for retirement systems. We should have never got in it. So. Anybody else say anything? Okay, all those in favor of filling out the form and sending it in to them, say goodbye by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Okay, we're out.
Is there an effective date for that? Effective
tomorrow.
Withdrawal,
yep.
Effective
tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I'm going to send.
Send the form tomorrow so we can redeem at the end of this month.
One thing, I don't know if this is an issue, but we will receive about 97.5% of what we have left, and then we won't get the other 2.5% potentially till the end of March 2013.
I think that will change till...
It could. They have the ability to kick down that rest of that.
Since they're closing the fund in September, I think it will be sometime
in
September.
We went to bet in the last week. We lost another $500,000.
Yep.
Mike, we don't bet on this board. Everything's a bet. Everything's a bet.
Okay.
Don't forget that. Everything's a gamble.
Item 8.
Jeez.
Waking up every day is a gamble.
Yeah, well, when you invest, that's a bet. Yeah.
All right, this agenda item presents the 2012-2013 budget. A couple things I want to go over, and then we can look at the major changes in the budget. In terms of the expense portion of the budget, the change was relatively minimal. In fact, it was flat. And if you go a step further and you add the cash flows that we project to receive from Raymond James and the capital expenditures, then the actual budget is less than what we had budgeted the year prior. To give you a little scale where we are relative to our legal allotment, there's a section code in the CERL that allows us to spend up to 0.21% of the accrued liability, and that's not including anything spent on computer stuff. If you include in next year's budget the computer stuff, we're still well below the allotment at about 0.12%.
Rick, can you also state that does not include outside legal?
Actually, in the budget, we do have outside legal some projections on.
Stuff we just approved or whatever.
I don't know if that's.
I don't think it.
I don't think it is. I think it's just the computer stuff that's netted out of the allotment. I don't see anything in terms of legal in the CERL. I can check that, though, but I'm pretty sure I looked at it a couple days ago. So if you turn to this page of your agenda here, this is probably the best way we can really quickly go through this. This shows the major changes relative to last year's budget, and you can see the biggest change is due to the salaries and benefits. We had a lot of retirements from higher compensated folk here and also vacation cash outs, which we're not going to see. The new employees that we've hired to replace them are coming in at lower pay scales, so that's helping to offset some of the salary and benefit costs next year. Staff has projected about $160,000 of an increase for Reed Smith. We don't know what that's going to be. That might be a little high, but we wanted to be conservative on that estimate. County Council, our County Council finished up the last case, the Corley case. We don't anticipate using them anymore, so that was a drop of $10,000. We're assuming $40,000 of an increase due to Raymond James coming on board. Again, we plan on getting revenue that probably will offset that entire amount. At least it'll be pretty close. That was what we projected when we did our analysis earlier in the year. Contract or the realtor fees, that would this graph is incorrect. It says realtor fees. It should be contract services, but the increase in contract services is due to the reimbursement of the realtor for getting Raymond James in here. Depreciation expense increase, that mostly was due to a miscalculation or a misrepresentation of the depreciation cost the prior year. They should have been about $20,000 higher, so that's been corrected. Obviously, recruitment expenses have dropped off. That was mostly due to my position. There's about a $9,000 increase due to county service reassessment. Each year, they look at what they budgeted for us based on last year's use, and staff estimates that we're going to be reassessed about $9,000 based on our actual use last year. Insurance is increasing. That's mostly due to the fiduciary insurance. Computer software support, staff expects to spend some money for Microsoft 2010. Everybody seems to be going that direction. Thus, we will too. Staff education and travel, that's increasing about $4,000. Unfortunately, that's pretty much due to me and my credentials and going to a couple seminars to keep these credentials up. And that's about it. If you have any questions, I'd be willing to answer them.
Questions?
I'll move for approval. There's no questions.
Okay. Motions have made for approval. Any further discussion? And then all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's carried. That is approved. Members forum. There.
I don't have anything.
Fred?
Nope.
Nothing.
Jeff?
Pass.
Michael?
No.
Donna?
At Sackers, I met up with a gentleman who, I asked him to speak with you regarding direct lending and maybe some educational information.
Bless you.
I can't remember his name. I was waiting in line for the pasta.
Package prayers.
Those of you that were there know how long that took.
Good thing you didn't sign a contract, because there's a law.
Direct lending is a area that we're very familiar with. We're just made an investment with another fund just north of here. But it is equivalent to below investment grade type of a private.
Is that gambling?
I don't say it was gambling, but I'm just telling.
Lending's not gambling.
Jim, close your ears. Gambling.
Okay, do you have anything else?
But I think it would be interesting.
We can line up a speaker.
Okay, Mike?
Yeah. I do have something. You guys all received from Sackers UC Berkeley Hawes School of Business Public Pension Investment Management Program that's happening in July. So if you're interested, we've had people attend in the past, and they really liked it. It's very comprehensive. So if you're interested in going, let me know.
I think I'd ask one thing.
I have one thing. We were asked about looking into changing custodial banks, and we did a little bit of preliminary homework, and it's a major task, but we do think that there is some merit into looking into changing custodial banks. There's a lot that has to go on before we do it, so staff is going to probably work with Paul and some of the other 37 at counties going forward, and we hope to bring something back early next year, maybe in a year from now, but it's going to take a lot of work to put this thing forward and do it right. But it is on our radar, Mike, and we haven't forgot.
Okay, being no further business, this meeting is adjourned.